May 23rd, 1986.
Good morning and welcome to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Today's program will begin momentarily, but first, let me remind you that our phone lines are open for your questions and comments. Please confine your remarks to the subject material being discussed on today's program and be as brief as possible so others may call in too. Now, here's your host for Feedback, Tom Trulson, along with today's guest.
And good morning. It's 5 minutes past 10 o'clock on a Friday. Welcome to our 10th birthday edition of the Feedback Program. And Ted Brower is back with us once again to talk about proper nutrition and a segment that we're calling God's Natural Laws. And we welcome you back. Never know what to expect with this program except a lot of telephone response. So we want to remind the folks that our phone lines are open this morning at 858-3805. You also wanted to mention your phone number because oftentimes we get so many calls that they linger on even after the program is over, and we want to let them know that they can call your office if they have additional questions after the program.
Yes, it's 956-TOM-2733.
And that is where?
That's in Winter Haven, so it's area code 813.
All right. Our phone number again this morning while we're on the air is 858-3805. Where do we want to start this morning?
Well, I just found a really interesting article, and it was showed to me the other day from one of the local newspapers, and I want to read it to the audience real quickly, just part of it. I don't want to read the whole article. With respect to cancer as a whole, we have slowly lost ground. This is written by the American Medical Association, one of their journals. We see no reason for optimism about overall progress during recent years, two researchers writing in the New England Journal of Medicine's May the 8th edition reported. This article prompted a flurry of media coverage and immediate denials of the report's findings from some major cancer research centers. Okay? Again, they say, there is no evidence of a recent downward trend, they continue. In this clinical sense, we are losing the war against cancer. Substantial increases in our understanding of the nature and properties of cancer have not led to a corresponding reduction in the incidence or mortality. The main conclusion we draw is that some 35 years of intense effort focused largely on improving treatment must be judged a qualified failure, the authors concluded. This is incredible. As with so many epidemics, a greater focus on preventing cancer through proper eating, changes in lifestyles, and environmental controls may hold much more promise in reducing the nation's second biggest killer than by treatment. Hmm. And Tom, this is what we've been talking about for the past year and all the shows that we've done with you. Prevention is the key to the degenerative disease problem that we have in this country. Again, we lead the world in chronic degenerative disease. The United States is ranked 37th in world health. More people die in this country, or let's say a newborn infant has a better chance of living longer in 36 other countries than in the United States. And it shouldn't be that way. We spend more money on health care and medicine than any other country in the world, but yet we lead the world in disease and sickness as far as chronic degenerative disease. Heart disease being the number one killer, cancer being number two, and diabetes being number three. And it's not getting any better. They've just said here now, and I read a recent study that said within 10 or 15 more years that one half of the population, if the current trends do not change, will have cancer. The other study I read, and this is on CBS Evening News with Dan Rather last year, said that within 15 years, or at that point in time would be the year 2000, that 100% of the population in this country will have diabetes or be affected by some form of diabetes or symptoms of it if the current trends don't change.
So the essence of what you're saying and what that AMA article said was that the focus needs to be more on preventative rather than treatment.
That's exactly right, Tom. And I think that we as Christians, we need to realize that, you know, there is a law. There's a law in the Old Testament. You know, we're not bound by the law anymore. And I'm not being legalistic here this morning. I'm just simply saying there are laws that occur in nature that God set into balance and into play. In fact, Proverbs 26:2 states, "The curse causeless shall not come." And he talks about in Leviticus and in Deuteronomy about the curses being long and lingering illness and disease. And, you know, and cancer, heart disease, and diabetes are long and lingering disease. And so many times we don't look at what God's Word has to say until after some analogy being made and some scientific community will say, well, in fact, this even corresponds to the Bible diet. Well, isn't that kind of strange? Had we looked at the Bible diet to start with, we wouldn't have all these problems.
Hmm. But you had said yourself that this is in the Old Testament, and people say, well, we're not under the Old Testament law anymore. But you're saying that can still happen, even to a Christian.
Sure it can, Tom. You know, in Corinthians, it talks directly about food, and it says that all things are permissible, but not all things are beneficial. Now, I'm not saying here, and it's like on we did on the last show we did a couple of months ago, we can eat everything we want to eat, okay, and we can get to heaven. Okay, there, as far as the Old Testament, it's been fulfilled. Now, did Jesus come to fulfill it or to abolish it? He came to fulfill it. Okay, so all the laws are still intact, but we don't have to worry about those laws as far as salvation anymore. And so we sometimes tend to forget that God who made us is the same God who told us what we should and shouldn't eat. And this God, our God, knows what's healthy and what's not healthy. For instance, let me read you something real quick in Leviticus. And this is just to give you a real fast analogy. Leviticus chapter 11, for those of you who have your Bibles with you, which if you're driving down the road, don't get your Bible out right now. Okay.
Let me see if I understand the essence of what you're saying before you share the scripture. What we eat has nothing to do with whether we're saved or not, but it could have a lot to do with how fast we get to heaven or not.
You got it. That's exactly right. Now, let me show you this real quick. This is Leviticus chapter 11, verses 33. And he's talking about clean and unclean foods. And he says that if something unclean falls, and it says, if one of them falls into a clay pot, everything in it will be unclean and you must break the pot. Now, this is, again, God's divine wisdom. See, we 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, whenever this part of the Bible was written, we knew nothing about microscopic parasites or organisms. But God knew they were there because he made them. And he warned us. He said, if an unclean thing falls into a clay pot, which has a porous surface, okay, you know, we know that these microbes, these microscopic organisms or parasites could actually get inside of the clay. And then when we cooked in the pot again, they could get in our food. See, well, God knew that. So he said to break the pot and never use it again. And that shows, again, God's divine, infinite wisdom that we still today don't realize. He tells us in the Old Testament what to eat and what not to eat. But we, again, in our own little worldly way sometimes, we think, well, we can eat what we want to eat, and we won't have to pay the consequences. Well, the Bible tells us the curse causeless shall not come. And again, in Proverbs 22. And what I'm trying to state here is that, you know, there are laws that we have to realize. In physics, okay, God created the law of gravity. Okay, if we jump off a carpenter's home here, we're going down. And chances are, if it doesn't kill us, we're going to have a really bad headache or concussion or something else, okay? And that is a breaking of the law of gravity, which is, again, one of God's natural laws. In the realm of agriculture, it's kind of silly for a farmer to go out and plant seed of corn and expect wheat to come up. He can scream and holler and cry and pray and do everything he wants to do, and unless God divinely intercedes, okay, whatever he planted is coming up. What you sow, you shall reap. The Bible says.
I think I just heard that earlier this morning somewhere.
And in electronics, you see the engineers all the time, and they work on the high voltage lines. Well, I guarantee you, they don't want to touch the wrong line, because of those who do, most of the time, they end up dead. Okay, we had a man working on our house here a few months ago, and he had touched a high voltage cable, and it burned his right arm off.
Hmm.
And the doctor said he should have died, but I mean, he broke that law of electricity that God had put into place. Another one, law of chemistry. If you take the wrong drug for the wrong disease, it may kill you. How many times do you read of someone getting up in the middle of the night and taking the wrong medication out of their medicine cabinet because they haven't turned the light on, and all of a sudden they're dead? And they will find them in the morning, or a mother gets up and gives the wrong medication to her children because she didn't want to turn the light on. And see, and so we have to realize there is a law that we have to be aware of in biology and everything else. You know, how about the moral law of God? How many people have been hurt by breaking the Ten Commandments? That's Old Testament. And we tend to think, well, the Old Testament laws, they're null and void. Does that mean all of them are null and void? You mean all the Old Testament, all the commandments, everything's null and void? Of course not. What it means is that Jesus came to fulfill the law, that if we accept, we are saved by faith through grace, not by works or obeying the law anymore.
Do we have a tendency as Christians to not consider eating habits to be a spiritual matter? Maybe I'm not asking that right. Does that make sense?
Well, yes, it does, Tom. And you know, and I was on the Herman Bailey show the other day, and we spoke about, in Acts chapter 15, where Paul is talking to the Gentile believers, and Peter and them, or they're writing a letter to the Gentile council, and they're telling them that they're supposed to not eat the meat sacrificed to idols, that of strangled animals, do not eat the blood, and do not commit sexual immorality. And, you know, it all kind of ties in together. And Pastor Strader, when I spoke on the panel a few months ago here at church, said to me, and I was trying to be lenient with it, and I said, well, these things in moderation. And Pastor Strader asked me, he said, well, Ted, you mean sexual immorality is okay? K in moderation? And I said, well, no, Pastor, I guess you got me on that one. I didn't mean it that way, but you see, that's the context that it's used in. And we have to realize that a lot of times, let's say, for instance, if someone's hypoglycemic, okay, and there's a lot of people who are hypoglycemic, which is a blood sugar condition. If they're hypoglycemic, what they eat directly affects themselves and everybody around them. It's not just something you do to yourself. If you eat something and it makes you sick all the time, then you're causing grief for someone else. And see, sometimes we tend to be a bit selfish. I see the men all the time. They come by our office, and they're 50, 60, 80, 100 pounds overweight. And they're unwilling to control their diets to lose their weight. And they say, well, I'm only hurting me. Well, that's not true, Tom. What happens if they're in their 40s and they die from a heart attack and they leave their family and their kids stranded without any means of support? Who have they hurt? You see, and what we have to realize is that, you know, we're called to a life of discipline as Christians. And that, you know, we don't bring honor and glory to God by being 250 pounds overweight. It just doesn't. To me, it doesn't. That's my opinion, of course.
Where does a person start? That is, so many of us are just ingrained having eaten the way we've eaten for all of our lives. How do we change?
Well, I guess the thing that we have to look at, Tom, first of all, is we have to learn that we don't need as much protein as we've been led to believe. Okay? And so many times you hear, well, you need to have 3 meat servings a day, and you need to have milk and dairy products and meat and all these other things 3 and 4 times a day. And the truth of the matter is our body, number one, does not need that much protein. Okay? 50 grams a day is plenty of protein. And number two is we don't need that much fat in our diet. And the average American consumes between 40 to 50% of his total caloric intake in pure fat. That's about the equivalent of eating a stick of butter every day. And then we wonder why we get the arteries plugged up. And in the Old Testament, God tells us not to eat the fat because he knew what would happen with the cholesterol buildup. And just as bad as the amount of salt that we consume. And you say, well, Ted, we don't eat salt. Well, we have people come in the office all the time, and we'll check them for salt levels, and their salt levels would be 10, 12 times above normal. And they say, well, I don't eat salt. But they don't realize how much salt is in the food that they're eating, in the processed food. Salt's used as a preservative. And so the salt will go in and actually ionize a blood vessel. Let me give you a real quick example. I don't want to get real technical with everybody on the radio here today, but the way you can check to see how much salt is in a fluid is you use a conductivity meter. It determines how much electricity the urine or the substance will conduct. Okay? For instance, pure steam distilled water does not conduct electricity. Did you know that?
No.
Okay? You can step in a swimming pool full of steam distilled water with a 220 voltage line in the other end turned on, and it won't shock you. Okay, it does not conduct electricity. It's the mineral salts within the water that allow it to conduct the electricity.
I don't want to encourage anybody to
try that. No, I don't encourage anybody to do that. Okay, in case you, I'm sure there will not be steam distilled water after you put it in the pool because it'll pick up the minerals from the side of the pool. But the point is, that's what people don't realize, is that if you eat a lot of salt, the blood gets salty, which means the blood starts to conduct too much electricity, and it will actually ionize the blood vessel, which means you'll have a positive and a negative charge in both sides of the blood vessel, and it'll act like an electromagnet, and it'll actually cause the cholesterol to stick to it. And I know this is kind of technical for you folks, but please don't turn off. It'll get better here in a minute. But the point is, salt is one of the worst things that you can do for varicose veins, for hemorrhoids, and all these other things. Some of the biggest problems, not so much that we don't get enough exercise, is because of what we eat.
If salt is so widely used as a preservative, how do you find something that doesn't have it in?
You've got to read the labels. And you've got to make sure that the labels are okay. Now, don't get me wrong, a little bit of salt is okay, but what you need to do is, if you're going to drink a lot of salty stuff or eat a lot of salty stuff, make sure you drink steam distilled water along with it. The steam distilled water, again, as we've mentioned, has no mineral salts in it. Now, when I'm talking about salts, I'm not just talking about sodium chloride or table salt. There's all types of other mineral salts that are also available in the body, which also conduct electricity.
What about just tap water?
Tap water is loaded with salt. Okay, we had a gal come in the office the other day, and she had had a body chemistry screen done, and she had come in 2 weeks later, and her salts had actually increased. And we had suggested to her that she drinks the distilled water, but she decided she'd drink her tap water because she said it was good water. Well, she brought it in, and we checked it, and it was loaded. You wouldn't believe how much electricity it was conducting and the amount of salt that was in it.
Let's go to the phone. We have our first caller this morning. It's 1018. Incidentally, phone's open at 858-3805. And if you don't mind, let us know where you're calling from. Go ahead, please. Apparently, they realized they were on the air and decided not to talk.
Okay.
858-3805. Again, if you don't mind, let us know where you're calling in from.
Okay. A couple more things that I want to show you real quick. I want everybody, if you've got your Bible with you, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 2. And I want to just cover this with you real quick here, because there's some things in here that are important that you need to realize. 1 John chapter 2, verses 3, 4, and 6. We know that we have come to know him if we obey his commands. The man who says, I know him, but does not do what he commands, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But if anyone obeys his word, God's love is truly made complete in him. This is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him must walk as Jesus did. Now, that's pretty strong. And the reason that I wanted to share that with you, because I wanted to ask everybody, and this is all I'm going to say about this, Tom, because I don't want to do the same show we did last time again. Did Jesus eat pork?
Not that I'm aware of.
Couldn't have. If he had eaten pork, he wouldn't have been perfect sacrifice for us, because he would have broken one of the Old Testament dietary laws.
That's right.
And he couldn't have died for our sins.
The Jews could not eat pork.
In fact, you remember, Jesus didn't send the demons into a herd of cattle. He sent them into a herd of swine. And this is what we have to realize, is that we're supposed to emulate Christ. We're supposed to be as Jesus was. Now, I'm not saying to you folks, don't get me out of context again. You can eat the pork if you want to eat it. I'm just telling you, Jesus didn't eat it. Okay, and it tells us to live as he did and walk as he walked. And let me read you one quick thing about pork. Ms. Joan Wells, instructor of nurses at the Wesley Medical Center in Wichita, Kansas, informed us as we were preparing this book for press of a special report on trichinosis given at a doctors and nurses conference on communicable diseases. It was very revealing. Dr. A. Manley, who is an expert on animal diseases, made the statement that autopsies showed that 1 out of 3 people are infected with trichinosis. This means there is a tremendous increase in the spread of the subtle and crippler and killer. And folks, here's what I'm telling you. There's a lot of other good food that God said you can eat. Just simply stay away from the unclean foods, and you're going to be a whole lot healthier.
All right, let's go to the phone. We have two callers holding, and it's 10:20. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air. All right, we'll try the other line. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Auburndale. I have a question about the water. When you see in the store, you'll see drinking water equivalent to steam distilled. Is it really equivalent?
Well, what we suggest, ma'am, that you make sure that it says that it is steam distilled, because a lot of times they'll run it through a purifier or filter to pull all the salts and minerals out of it, but we always believe that the distilled water is going to be the best that you can buy. And so you can buy it that does say steam distilled on the label.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
10:21, phone lines remain open this morning. We appreciate it when you let us know where you're calling from. Here's our number, 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Auburndale. I just wanted to know, I've been reading a lot about food combining, and I wonder if Ted would mention something about that.
Food combining?
You know, where we're not supposed to combine milk and meats. I don't even know the rules. We're supposed to eat, like, one thing at a time and not combine. When you start combining your foods incorrectly, it affects your body.
Well, food combining, like a lot of other things, and that's another show that I'd like to do, Tom, is a one on fads, facts, and fallacies, okay? And if you have healthy body chemistry, it really doesn't matter if you combine your foods. However, if you're weak and you're run down, it's easier to digest certain groups of food if they're taken independently of one another. For instance, you shouldn't eat a fruit meal with a meat meal, because the fruit digests more quickly than the meat does. And so if you're going to do that, what I suggest that you do, you eat your fruit independently, you eat your grains independently, and you eat your vegetables all independently along with the meats. And that way you'll stay a little bit healthier if your body chemistry needs it. Now, again, I want to urge you that if you have healthy body chemistry, that you don't need to be concerned about that.
Okay. So I need to be checked on my body chemistry.
Well, it just depends on how you feel. You know, if you don't feel good, that's, you know, that gives you an indication that, you know, something may not, you know, be right there.
Uh-huh. In other words, if you're tired a lot.
You're tired a lot, that's a good indication. That's right. It's probably a blood sugar imbalance, but I wouldn't know unless we ran a screen on you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yes, ma'am.
Uh-huh.
10:22, phone lines are still open this morning at 858-3805. Before we go back to the phone, I'm not sure if we've ever talked about the importance of chewing your food well. Is that a concern?
Yes, it is. A lot of people, what they have a tendency to do is they just put a mouthful of food in their mouth and they wash it down with water or whatever they're drinking. And that's not healthy, okay, because the salivary amylase, the digestive enzymes that are in the mouth, help to pre-digest the food, especially the carbohydrates or the starches, before they go into the digestive system. So it's healthier to chew your food probably 15 to 20 times at least, okay, before you swallow it, and make it a point not to drink a lot of fluid with your meals. In other words, don't put the food in your mouth and swallow it with a glass of water or whatever you're drinking. Make sure you chew the food and then swallow it without the water, and you'll chew it up a lot more if you take it, you know, do it that way.
What happens if you don't chew it well? What does your system do?
Well, it's just not as well. It's not chewed up as much, and it creates a lot more stress and tension on the digestive system trying to digest it. It'll do it for a while, but then a lot of times it'll end up not digesting the food as well, and you don't get all the nutrients from the food that you need, and you have a breakdown there because, you know, we don't live on the food we eat, Tom. We live on the energy that the food creates, and if it's not digested properly, we don't get the same amount of energy out of it. And so we can't get the nutrients that way.
All right, let's go back to the phone. It's 10:23. Go ahead, please.
I'm calling from Lakeland. Regretfully, I have missed the prior shows when you've been on, and am extremely interested in nutrition and diet, and have been, you know, tried many different publications that are out, like the Pritikin Diet, and we're currently using the Fit for Life book. I take from what you've said so far that the main thing, or the only thing I've extracted so far that's bad for us is animal fat. Would you mind to quickly tell us the bad things and the good things? And when you get to the good things, maybe, you know, some things are even better than others. How you break down, say, a percentage of your diet. Should it be mostly fruits and vegetables with just a little bit of meat? And a little bit of either natural fat, which you can get even through something like an avocado or a couple of tablespoons of raw butter a day. Would you mind just giving an example, not an example diet, but just a list, particularly of the worst possible things for us, and then, you know, the best things that you recommend? Because I've missed your previous shows, and I'm very sorry that I have.
Well, I really appreciate your call and stuff, but in order to do that justice, it would take me probably an hour and a half to go through all that with you over the radio here. So what we've prepared is we've got a complete information packet that you can order from our office, mm-hmm. which will give you several different booklets in there. It will give you some photocopies and some information on clean and unclean foods and what to eat, not to eat.
Also, cassette copies of those earlier programs are available, and at the end of today's program, there's an address given on how you can get those.
Okay.
And what we ask that you do is that we can't give these packets out because of the expense. And we have two cassette tapes in them also. And one of the cassette tapes is from a scriptural nutrition presentation that I did at a Baptist church over in Auburndale. And another one is a lecture on the colon that we've done here at First Assembly. By the way, we do have lectures that we offer every Wednesday night here at First Assembly in Lakeland on Main Street. And we're in the annex across from the Main Street Sanctuary. And those are every Wednesday night, and they're on an ongoing basis. They're from 7 to 8 o'clock, and there is no charge for those. And so we highly suggest any of you who are interested in better health and nutrition that you attend these. Some of the things that we talk about are stress, osteoporosis, obesity, supplementation, healthy alternatives to eating, our declining health picture, body chemistry, the colon in your health, sugar in the American sweet tooth, heart disease, stress, osteoporosis and arthritis, obesity and the fat slides, which is a really good presentation that we're going to be doing this Wednesday night at church on obesity, and we're going to have a bunch of slides of dissected human blood vessels and stuff that have all the cholesterol and stuff in them, and we're going to show you. Now, they're not gross. Don't get upset with me here, but it's important that people see this because, again, as Hosea said, my people perish for a lack of knowledge. And see, and the key to all of this we're talking about is prevention. But if you don't know how to eat properly like you're asking, you can't prevent it. The cost on the information packet, along with the cassettes and the booklets and everything that are in it, is $15. So if you could just send a check payable to Broer, B-R-O-E-R, and Associates, and we'll give our address out later on in the show. We'll be happy to get that whole information packet out to you.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling.
Thank you.
1027, phone lines are still open this morning at 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I just want to tell you that I agree with what you're saying 100%. I just wanted to share a little section of Seitz Lovett's book and ask you to comment on it, please. It says here, the body is the Lord's, and the relationship between the body and the spirit is so close that the power of the Holy Spirit in one's life depends on the yielding of the body to Christ. Frequently, the greatest barrier to surrender of the body is the stomach. I agree with that. I just wanted to share that.
Well, ma'am, I thank you so much for calling in. I really thank you for your positive comment and positive feedback. It always makes me feel good that people are looking forward to our ministry and agreeing with us in the things that we say. The thing that I'd like to share with people real quick and regarding what you just said, it's very hard for a sick Christian to win a healthy sinner to Christ. It's almost impossible because people are going to look at you and they're going to say, well, I don't want to be like them. I mean, all these Christians are sick. Okay. And the thing about it is that the Bible that we've been given, that God's given us, is a total, it's a manual for life. It tells us how to act, what to do, what to eat. It tells us how to do everything. And all we have to do is follow it. And it's up to us, of course, to follow it. But, you know, if a healthy person is, you know, if a person is healthy and not plagued by the flu and the colds and the illnesses and arthritis and diabetes, their testimonies have a much greater impact on the non-Christian. And I really believe that it's in these latter days, and this is my opinion, that those Christians who continue to seek God's total will in their lives and to eat properly and to look at the body as a temple of God, which is what it is, will continue to grow stronger, where those Christians who ignore all these things and all the... things will continue to grow weaker. And now you say, well, I can't believe you just said that, Ted. Well, let me point something out to you folks. Whether or not you want to agree with what the Bible says, even if you're a Christian or you're not, okay, all the statistics and all the studies and all the findings from the American Medical Association, the American Cancer Society, all these things, the Heart Association, Diabetes Association, are all showing a high-fiber, low-fat diet is the healthier way to eat, which is exactly what's outlined in the Old Testament. So whether you want to agree with the, quote, legalism or whatever, which I'm not advocating at all, I'm simply telling you that if you want to be healthy, you're going to have to eat that way, period. And that's just a fact. And, you know, and so we're not trying to debate that or anything this morning on the radio. But it's just that, you know, I heard an old Baptist preacher say one time, Tom, that every pot sits on its own bottom. Okay? And that's exactly the same thing with health care. You know, it's not the doctor's responsibility to make you better after you've been bad. Okay? Everybody's health is their own responsibility. It's not the doctor's. And this is what you have to realize. It's like your bank account. Is a doctor responsible for your bank account? Of course not. But, you know, he's not responsible for your health either. That's your own responsibility. And what you do today and tomorrow will affect your health in the future. And people have got to learn this, and they have to begin to realize the importance of preventive health care.
We have two callers holding, so we'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air. All right, we'll try the other line. Go ahead. Well, we lost that caller as well. Phone lines are still open at 858-3805, and I have a feeling we'll have a caller back in just a moment.
Yeah, well, we've got some other things. I've got a whole bunch of stuff. Again, we're going to probably run out of time this morning, but I want to start in the very beginning in Genesis, and we're going to cover some of the natural laws in the very first part of Genesis. And in chapter 1 of Genesis, the Bible says, in the beginning, and then it goes on to say, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Well, I want to share with you real quickly what light is. Light is a source of what we call anionic energy, which without light, there would be no life. True? Okay, and this is something that, you know, God knew in the beginning. He said, well, let's start with what we need. Okay? And so we're going to take you through the basic first part of creation here and show you how structured everything is and how God put it all together. In verse 6, it continues, then he made the expanse in the midst of the waters. And I'm not going to read you the whole scripture, but you can go back and you can read it. The expanse is the air that we breathe. Okay, the most important thing we do is breathe. Okay, without breath, you know, we wouldn't be around very long. 80% of the energy that our body receives comes from the air that we breathe, not from the food that we eat. And this is what people don't realize, how important the air is that we breathe. For instance, have you ever noticed, Tom, that you can get these little pieces of moss or other plants that will actually grow on these phone lines or power lines, and they have no roots? So how can they live? Well, they actually draw moisture from the air and draw nutrients right out of the air. And a lot of the minerals and stuff that we get into our body come through our lungs, through the air that we breathe. And people don't realize how important, you know, good, fresh air is. The same thing with crops. And for farmers, 80% of the nutrients come from the air instead of the soil. And people don't realize how important the air is. And then let's start on verse 9. And then God said, let the waters below and the dry land and the earth. And again, he talks about the water here. Well, again, as this lady said a few minutes ago about the water, people do not drink enough clean water. You know, we have to realize that we're not a Volkswagen. You know, we need more nutrients and more water. We need water in order to allow the liver to produce enough bile and gastric juice to keep ourselves healthy. If many other animals were to drink the small amount of water that we drink, they'd die. Okay, and so we have to realize that water is critically important. And you should, here's how much water each of you should drink. If you weigh 200 pounds, you should drink 100 ounces of water a day, and it should be steam distilled. You take half of your body weight, and that's the amount of ounces you should eat, or drink, excuse me, and it should be steam distilled water. So if you weigh 150 pounds, you should take 75 ounces of steam distilled water in every day, preferably 4 ounces every half hour, 8 ounces, an hour. And it doesn't take that long to drink that much water. And you say, the other day I was in class here at church Wednesday night, and someone said, but if we drink all that water, we won't have room to drink anything else. And I said, that's the point. You know, how are we going to get our soft drinks in, and how are we going to get our iced tea in, and all these other things? And I said, well, if you drink the water, you won't want to drink all those other things because you just won't have any need for it. And again, water is absolutely critical that we drink that. Now let's go back to the land, back to the scripture verse. In Isaiah in chapter 51 verse 6, it says the earth will wear out like a garment and its inhabitants will die like flies. I tell you, folks, there's a bunch of people dying on this earth now. And the earth that we live on now, a lot of the reasons that we're so sick is because the food that we eat is not what it used to be. Many of the crops aren't rotated anymore. A lot of organic fertilizers are no longer used. They're using all kinds of chemicals and pesticides on the crops. And we ingest all the stuff into our systems. And we've got a whole show that we're going to do here shortly, one of these months, on cancer that I think that y'all will find very interesting. We'll go through like 25 to 30 different things that you should avoid in order to prevent cancer rather than trying to cure it. And it's like we ask our people on Wednesday night, how many of you would rather prevent cancer than cure it? How about heart disease and diabetes? You see, prevention is the key. You know, as I read in that first article, the research for the past 35 years has been a failure as far as the war against cancer. More people die with cancer today than ever have. And all the research and all the and see, it's so funny because a lot of this research is still centered at trying to find a virus or some type of bacteria or something that causes cancer. It's not that. The body degenerates, and that allows the influence of all these antioxidants or free radicals to affect the system.
Ted Brewer back with us this morning talking about God's natural laws. We have two callers holding, but we need to take our mid-program break. It's 10:34. You're listening to Feedback, and we'll be right back. We're back live with a Friday edition of Feedback. Phone lines are open this morning at 858-3805. And if you wouldn't mind, let us know where you're calling from, and if we can as well, keep our conversations as brief as possible. We're expecting a lot of calls this morning. Go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. I just had a couple quick questions. I was wondering what your feeling is on, like, the spring water. I've been drinking the North Carolina spring water.
Okay, there is salt in spring water.
Okay. And so it would be better whichever steam distilled.
In my opinion, yes, ma'am, it would.
And also, what's your feeling on milk? Because we tend to drink a lot of milk in our family.
Okay, if you're going to drink milk, I suggest you drink skim milk instead of the whole milk or the 1% or 2%. Mm-hmm. Milk is not what it used to be. When the pasteurization process of the milk, they destroy the enzyme phosphatase, which is essential for the utilization of the calcium in the milk. And so milk, as far as a good solid food like it used to be, it's just not like that anymore. More vitamin C is destroyed in the pasteurization of milk every year than is contained in all the citrus crops in this country. And you see, the pasteurization process, the heating and the boiling and stuff of the milk that they do, it really destroys a lot of the vital nutrients. So we don't drink that much milk at our house, if any at all, and we suggest that you simply take a calcium supplement if you really are in need of extra calcium, or you know, you eat more foods that are higher in calcium other than dairy products, because again, most dairy products are very high in fat.
Okay, thank you so much.
Appreciate your call this morning. You had mentioned calcium supplements. I've been seeing a lot of advertising lately for calcium supplements for women,
mm-hmm.
specifically.
Yes, there are a lot of different types of supplements on the market, and again, depending upon what the person, for instance, we use different types of supplements. There's the calcium phosphate, there's calcium oxide, there's calcium lactate, and depending on a person's particular pH levels or how well their body is digesting food determines which type of calcium they need.
How much calcium do we need a day?
Well, I suggest that the average American should consume, especially for a pregnant or lactating woman, about 1,500 to 2,000 milligrams a day. And if that's the same thing that the AMA suggests, and for a normal person, I suggest anywhere from 700 to 1,000 milligrams a day. But now, the thing we have to realize, and this is something that folks have to understand, is just because you take 1,000 milligrams of calcium into your system in supplemental form doesn't mean your body assimilates that much. Okay, just because you put it in your mouth doesn't mean it's not going to go out the other end and not be assimilated. And this is what people have to realize, that a lot of times, because their pHs are off, because their body chemistry is off, they're not going to digest the calcium they put in anyhow. And you've seen what's happened now. You know, milk consumption is like at an all-time high in this country, but osteoporosis is at an all-time high.
Hmm.
You know, and see, there's the correlation there, because, again, the pasteurization and the processing of the foods have destroyed a lot of the essential enzymes which are necessary for the assimilation of the calcium.
All right, let's go back to the phone. It's 23 now before 11. Go ahead, please. Good morning. You're on the air. Right, we'll try the other one. Go ahead.
Okay, I've got another little thing. And please forgive us on the phone. I know we're making you hold a long time, but we've got a lot of material we're covering this morning. And again, if you have any questions or anything, just please call our office, and we'll be more than happy to send you out the information packet that we had spoken about. And again, I can't discuss the information packet costs on the radio, so if you'll just call our office, we'll give you the cost and everything and how to get the packet. Now, on the fourth day, God made the seasons, the days, and the years, and the great lights in the morning, and there was evening, and there was a morning. Now, again, I'm just paraphrasing this. Well, what we've done here with the planets, the moon, and the sun, and day, and evening, is what we have is rhythm. And in biology, it's called circadian rhythm. And what that simply is that there's a time to eat your meal, there's a time to get up, there's a time to have a bowel movement, there's a time to take a bath, there's a time for exercise, and our body builds itself up on a rhythm. Okay, people who are really sick most of the time are totally out of rhythm, and they have no order to their life. They eat at different times, they go to sleep at different times, they do everything differently, and their body can never adjust to it. For instance, we have two Alaskan Malamute dogs, and what they do is at 5:30 every afternoon, if they're not being fed, they start howling. And they howl. They're bred from wolves, and they howl. And see, they're on rhythm. You see, and that's the way we should be. I'm not saying that if you're not fed at 5:30, folks, you're supposed to start howling, okay? But what I'm saying is that, you know, we need to have some type of structure in our life, and without the structure there, it's just we become sicker because our body doesn't know what to expect. And then in verse 20, he continues, and we have teams and swarms of living creatures and birds flying. And, well, to me, the teeming waters and the birds flying and the creatures swarming and everything else, that sounds like exercise, okay? And exercise, to me, is very healthful, yet for some people, exercise is not good. If a person is very weak and they have a very low reserve energy quotient in their body, they should not be doing exercise. Their body really needs to be healed first and repair itself before it goes out and tears down more tissue. And so sometimes, well, you see about all the time, Tom, somebody will be 40 years old and they haven't exercised in 20 years and they're going to go out and get in shape today. And then they bury him 3 days later. Okay, the body sometimes can't handle all that stress at once. And another thing, in verse 24, God talks about how he made the beasts of the earth after their kind and the cattle after their kind. And let me tell you real quick what we mean by kind and what I believe that God means by kind here. Every biological organism on the earth has what we call a different frequency. And let me explain this to you very quickly. And folks, please just bear with me. I'm going to get through this as quick as I can. But in biological life, what we talk about that in frequency is the time it takes one electron to complete a revolution in its orbit. Okay, now I know none of you probably, or not all of you are going to understand what I just said. But what that simply means is that every single creature okay, has a different frequency in their cells. That's how God made us. See, God's a God of mathematics, of law, and of progression. He knows exactly what he's doing. It's not haphazard. You know, we don't have body parts because we don't need them. Okay, there's a reason for everything that we have. Notice that the humans, I know you don't know this, that for a human male, the frequency is 0.0000024 of a second that it takes the electron to go, which is very fast. We have the fastest frequency of any animal on Earth. Okay, if you combine species, like if you cross a horse and a donkey, you get a mule. But what's the mule? Sterile. Okay, because you've crossed the frequencies and you can't do that. That's why evolution and all these things they talk about, it's a farce. It's ludicrous. Because there's no way you can cross a species because you'd have to cross frequencies. And if you cross frequencies, everything would be sterile and they couldn't reproduce. And this is something that we talk about. And you say, well, how in the world was that ever discovered? Well, back in 1934, a young physicist was asked if he could determine whether ashes that were in a building were that of human beings. Because ashes, the building had totally burned down. And he analyzed ashes and he found out the frequency of the ashes of humans was this ratio that I told you, and he analyzed the ashes in the building and found out they had the same ratio, which means they were human beings indeed, which is what was left of human beings. And so, you see, that's why it's so important that we realize that God is a God of mathematics, of science, of equations. I mean, you know, he's the ultimate physicist. I mean, the human body is absolutely an incredible miracle. And that's why we have to realize that in God's divine wisdom, he told us what we could and couldn't eat in the Old Testament. He shared with us what the most important things that he knew for our health. And he's still God. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God does not change. Now, he eased up on the law and allowed Jesus to come to fulfill the law because he loved us so much, because he knew that we couldn't obey all the Old Testament laws. But that doesn't mean that we should ignore God's natural laws. If you ignore the law of inertia and you step out in front of a semi-truck at 75 miles an hour, it's over. Okay, and the same thing, God's other natural laws are just as strong. And you can't break the laws, Tom. You can only break yourselves over the laws.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 18 minutes left in the program. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm calling from Winter Haven. I was listening to him talking about the swine, but didn't the devil's axe to go into something? Don't, when God casts out devils, they automatically want to go back into something, because if they don't go into anything, that they would surely die?
Yes.
And also, didn't he tell Noah, after the floods and everything, that he created all the beasts of the field, and that they was good to eat? All flesh was good to eat, but not to eat the blood? And wasn't Jesus God in the flesh? That's my question.
Okay, good question. So, first of all, if you were a demon, okay, and you wanted to go into something, this is how I would look at it, okay? This is just my opinion again. If I was a demon, I'd rather elect to go into something filthy and swinish than I would in something clean. That's how I look at that. Okay, as far as in Noah, when God asked the man, when the first time that man was allowed to eat meat was in the Old Testament after the flood. You're right. As far as the different types of meat, I'm not versed in that right now. I'll have to study. If you'd like to call my office, I'll be more than happy to go over that with you, because I've never been asked that question before, and it's an excellent question, and I thank you for bringing it to my attention. And third, yes, God was, you know, Jesus was God in the flesh. Okay, and that's why Jesus didn't eat the unclean foods. Okay, because God knew what the natural laws were, and Jesus lived in a human body while he was on earth, and he knew what the breaking of the natural laws would do, because he was God, and he made up the rules. That's why he didn't eat the unclean food, as far as I'm concerned. I thank you again. Those are excellent questions, and thank you so much.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 17 minutes left now. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Yes.
Yes. My question is, should a lot of beans and wheat be in our diet, and also is yeast good in our diet for the bread?
Yeast is okay as long as, you know, you don't, you know, go overboard with it, you know, because a lot of women have problems with yeast infections, and a lot of times they feel that they're related directly to the problems with the amount of yeast that they get in their diet. Yes, grains should be the staple. Wheat and grains and beans and those types of things should be the staple in our diet, and then the vegetables and the fruits and other things. As far as the heavy protein foods like the beef and the chicken and the fish, they should be the least in our diet, and we should eat the smallest amount of those along with the fat, because our body, remember, gets the protein also from the other grains and stuff that we eat, and we don't have to, quote, eat meat to get all the protein that we need. Now, I'm not advocating that you don't eat meat. You can eat meat if you want to eat meat. That's great. It doesn't make any difference to me. You know, occasionally we eat fish, but the point is that you don't need all these excessive amounts of protein in your diet to remain healthy. Now, one final thing I want to cover with you, because we're going to take some more callers here in a few minutes. In beginning in chapter 2, verse 1, God talks about the seventh day, and he sanctified it for rest. Now, we were created in God's image. God thought it was important enough that on the seventh day he rested. Okay, but what do we do? I know people, they come into my office and they say, I haven't felt good in years, but I tell you, before I started feeling bad, I worked 7 days a week, 18 hours a day, and I mean, I never ate, I never slept, I never did anything, but boy, I worked hard. Man, I feel terrible. Well, what have they done? They've broken the natural law. Okay, the body needs that seventh day to rebuild what we call reserve energy into the tissue and into the system. And the rebuilding of the reserve energy is what allows us to stay strong and not allow us to wear out very quickly. Now, when I mean rest, I'm not talking about mowing the lawn. That is not rest, folks. I'm not talking about working in the garden or
not even a writing
mower. No, no. I'm talking about sitting in your chair and listening to Christian, the WCIE, Christian radio, or Christian albums, or maybe having friends over. But I'm not talking about going out and having a full-fledged, you know, party every Sunday, you know, with all your friends out by your pool and, you know, and eating your pork chops and stuff. That's not what I'm talking about. You know, I'm not talking about rest like that. I'm talking about just relaxed atmosphere that you can just let the body rebuild itself and have some time for yourself and for your family. That's what rest is, as far as I'm concerned, and I believe that's what the scripture means when it talks about it. And again, as we mentioned before, as sick Christians, it's very hard for us to win healthy sinners to Christ. And that's the whole purpose of why we're here. Okay, NCS Nutrition Ministries, that's the key that we're doing. We're looking and working and training people to become what we call ministers of health. We've got a training program that we have now, Tom, that we teach people how to do diet analysis and help them with their friends and teach them the different types of foods they should eat. And if they're interested in that, they can call our office.
Before we go back to the phone, what does it do for your body to get that rest and to get the proper amount of sleep?
Well, again, at our office, we provide what we call a body chemistry screen, in which we analyze the saliva and the urine, and we actually, let me read you exactly what it does. Now, we recommend the use of urine saliva screening. With a urine saliva screening, we arrive at a mathematical equation which is made up of five factors. These values are derived from using instruments which will help us, guide us in determining us to form for you a tailor-made diet. The mathematical equation will tell us whether the body is getting too much or not enough carbohydrate, too much or not enough calcium, too much or not enough oxygen, too much or not enough salt, too much or not enough water, or not enough protein. And see, these are the factors that we help you to balance your body chemistry with. When then we say, okay, you need to adjust the amount of carbohydrates you're getting, or you need to drink more water, or you need to exercise. And this is what we suggest to people, and this is how we can help them, you know, to get their reserve energy built back up. And the question, if you don't get enough sleep, and you don't get enough rest, and you don't get enough water to drink, and, you know, all these things that you mentioned, the reduction, there's almost immediate reduction in reserve energy. Now, what that means is that your body requires more energy to function than is being obtained from your food. Okay? Which means you're actually tying into reserves in your system. That's why a person can go on a 40-day fast and not die. Okay? Because of the reserve energy in their tissue. They can drink water and they can actually deplete their own body's stores of energy and continue to live. That's the way God designed us. Okay, if we don't get the food that we need into our system and we don't digest the food, okay, there's a difference between getting it in and digesting it, then the body will start to deplete the mineral and energy reserves, and then you have a reduction in the reserve energy, and that's why the rest is so important, to give the body a chance just to catch up.
So now I know what burnout means.
You got it. That's right.
All right, let's go back to the phone. We have 11 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Hello, I'm calling from Sarasota. I was just wondering, there's lots of times that, you know, my husband and I have tried to change our diets, but it seems like when we do that, it's like we haven't had enough to eat, and it's like, you know, like we want the meat or we want the sweets. Does your body have to go through a period of, like, withdrawal? Because every time I try and give something up, if I give it up for so many days, then I don't really crave it anymore. But then if I have it again, then I really want it, you know, like chocolates and or ice cream or something like that. And I'm going to hang up because I'm long distance.
All right. We appreciate your call.
Yes. And this is one of the biggest problems that we've run into, is that if a person changes their diet, most of the time they do exactly what you say. They go into withdrawal. A lot of time they have headaches. A lot of times they get sick. They end up like us with flu symptoms, and their body's dumping all these toxins into their system at once, and they get sick, and they feel bad for sometimes up to a week. And it's pretty hard to think, well, man, I've been eating this healthy diet now, and I've been sick for a week. Okay? And so a lot of times there's a tendency to backslide, whatever you want to call it, or to go back to your old way of eating, because it's not easy to change at first. You know, the average American consumes 67 teaspoons of sugar a day. I know people who consume 25 Cokes a day. You know, not to mention a brand name, 25 soft drinks. And, anybody who knows about health knows that there's 10 to 12 teaspoons of sugar per soft drink, and that person's consuming 20 of those a day, that's an incredible amount of sugar they're taking into their system every day.
Isn't there also sodium in soft drinks?
Yes, there's sodium and there's caffeine. And so that's what a lot of people need, Tom, and this is the thing that's so dangerous with caffeine. You can stimulate your central nervous system. Even if you have a reduction in reserve energy, okay, and you don't feel good, you can drink that caffeine, and it'll pick your energy levels up because it forces the adrenals to secrete the adrenaline back into the system, which keeps you going, which keeps you moving, it keeps you pushing and everything else. The only problem is you're still not getting nutrients, and it's causing a further depletion of the reserve energy in the body, which means that your body's actually wearing out a lot faster than it should, because what the body needs if you're tired is not a cup of coffee. It needs rest. But see, what we do, and see, now, I have to admit, I was guilty of this. Back when I was in graduate school, I used to drink 18 cups of coffee a day. And at the end of my graduate years, I was almost dead, literally. And I didn't know that much as far as, you know, the practical applications of nutrition back then. But now I've realized over the years, hey, yes, there is a, you know, there is a cause and effect. And if you break these natural laws and you push, sooner or later, you will pay the price. It's just a matter of time. Sometimes it takes longer to pay the price.
So the caffeine kind of gives you a false sense of inner strength.
Sure it does. And, you know, and caffeine, as far as I've heard some people on talk shows say that it was a hideous poison and is one of the biggest precursors for breast disease and cystic breast cancer for women. And people don't realize how much of a toxin that caffeine is. Caffeine is a drug. When I got off of the coffee, I had to eliminate it slowly out of my diet. I went from 18 to 15 to 14 to 12. I mean, I just went all the way down. It took me 2 to 3 weeks to get off of it. And at the end of those 2 to 3 weeks, I'd had a headache for almost a week. And when I finally stopped drinking it, I was only drinking about a quarter of a cup a day. I had the worst headache for 3 days you could ever imagine. Okay, because what caffeine does is what we call it dilates the blood vessels in the systemic circulation of the arms and legs, and it causes the blood vessels in the brain to constrict. Well, if it's not there to cause the blood vessels in the brain to constrict, they'll expand, which causes pressure on the brain, which gives you a headache. And it's incredible the amount of people who are addicted to caffeine who are Christians.
We have 8 minutes left. We'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Hi, yes. I was in the car when you read the verse about living like Jesus does. Could you read that again or give me that verse again?
I sure will. It's in 1 John. It's 1 John chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. And that's a good verse. I love that verse.
3 through 6. Okay, one more. And the address to where I can send to get the packet of all those booklets and that you were talking about?
That's right. We haven't given the address out yet, have we?
No, we haven't.
It's okay, I'm going to hang up now then.
Okay, I'll give it out right now. It's 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, and that's 33881. Again, I repeat that, 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, 33881. Just make it attention to Broer & Associates, B-R-O-E-R.
And we'll share that again about 7 minutes from now at the end of the program. Right now, we'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I have a 10-year-old daughter that she seems to eat real well, and I have her on a good diet, and she just seems so tired all the time, and we took her to a doctor and got a physical. I'm wondering, do you reckon there's something wrong with the, well, the physical was fine, but she just seems so drug out all the time, like she has no energy.
Okay. I remember I read in a book here one time, and it was by a medical doctor. And again, we have the finest, highest trained professional medical staff and association in the world. And I have nothing to say but good things about the doctors. But what happens is, as Tom and I have talked about before, is that we expect them to do everything for us. Okay? And that's not right. I read in a book one time, one doctor stated succinctly, we doctors are trained in disease, but what you were talking about, the control of diet in order to prevent disease, is not disease, it's health. But health, strangely enough, is not our field. Health is the responsibility of each person. And you see, this is the thing that we have to look at. A lot of times, children that age group have a lot of problems because of the foods that they eat. You know, their body's not handling carbohydrates very well, or their electrolytes or salts are too high. And that's why we recommend that if a person has real bad problems like that, that, you know, we really can't suggest to them what to do over the radio, but, you know, you could come by the office. We'd be happy to talk to you.
Are you a doctor?
I'm a biologist trained in nutritional therapy from Florida State.
I took her to the doctor and to get a physical, and I put her on vitamins, the iron and calcium, and it just don't seem to do any good. And I watch her diet. I don't let my kids have a lot of junk, and I watch their salt, and they have vegetables and, you know, And see, and that's the reason why I don't understand that. There must be something wrong somewhere in her system, right?
Oh, yes, ma'am, but I suggest what you do is if you would like to talk to me about this further, because we're almost out of time, that you go ahead and give me a call at my office. I'll be there in about an hour and a half or so.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
We have just 5 minutes left in the program, and we're only going to take a few more calls this morning, 858-3805. Go ahead, please.
Yes. This may sound like kind of a strange question, but you mentioned about Sunday being a day of rest. And you mentioned having people over and relaxing and so forth. And as a woman, this sounds like a strange question.
No, I've heard it before, I promise you.
Do you feel that, you know, a woman almost should have a day off from even cooking? I assume if you have people over, you're going to be feeding them or eating or something.
Yes.
What do you think about that?
I sure do, ma'am. If I were you, and I think every woman, and you know, I used to ask women, I used to say, well, ma'am, do you work? And I don't say that anymore. I say, ma'am, do you work outside of the home? Because if you're a woman and you're working in the home, you're working just as hard as most men are on a full-time job. And so, and I respect, you know, women for that, because a lot of times they have a lot more work to do than people give them credit for. I suggest that you cook two meals, you know, for the next day and stuff on one day, and you take one day off a week. And I think, yes, you should have a day off where you can just sit up and put your feet up and relax. I really do.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you for calling. We have 4 minutes left, and we'll go back to the phone. Go ahead, please.
Good morning. I'm calling from Lakeland. I've heard so many things about drinking a lot of milk with the mucus it can produce. What is your feeling about pregnancy and needing to drink a lot of milk for the calcium content, and can you get it from other things? And I'll hang up. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. There's a big controversy in that right now, and a lot of the doctors and clinicians are even moving away from the milk because of the high fat content. I suggest to you that you drink milk that's low fat, or the skim milk especially, and that you take a type of a calcium supplement. And there are a lot of other lists that you can get that'll give you high calcium content foods, and you can start eating a lot more of those. But again, you have to be aware of the fact that if you aren't getting enough calcium in your body, your baby will continue to get the calcium from your bones. And so to make sure that you do, you know, get adequate amounts of calcium, if through supplementation or whatever, make sure you get it in there somehow.
When you and I were growing up, there was so much emphasis on getting enough milk and dairy products for strong bones and strong teeth. Mm-hmm. Was there an overemphasis there, and are we still attached to that?
Well, I think there was, Tom, and I, you know, we've read about that before when we talked about, you know, heart disease. I think a lot of times that, you know, we've tended to overstate the importance of the dairy products, and that's in my opinion, of course, and a lot of other people's opinion also, because I know that milk is a very mucoid-forming food, like this lady had mentioned, and it causes a lot of other problems with the stomach and the gastrointestinal tract, and it causes a lot of mucus formation in the intestinal wall, and it causes a lot of people to have constipation problems. And so, you know, it's just there are a lot of other foods that are healthy to eat, or a lot healthier to eat than milk, and we suggest those.
All right, and we'll take one last call. We have just 2 minutes left. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'd like to know if the sinus problems that all of us suffer, you know, sometimes more often than others, right now I'm just getting an infection, can be helped out by the diet. And also one other question on muscle spasms. I'm overweight, but I'm having, you know, more tension at the end of the year as a school teacher, and I'm having more muscle spasms that are really causing me a lot of pain. Could that be helped out by, you know, more calcium or more diet?
Well, again, and I thank you for your question, but probably one of the biggest problems that we have in trying to address an issue like this is we don't know what your personal body chemistry is. I've seen people who've changed their diets who've been helped with the muscle spasms, and I've seen people who've changed their diets who've gotten totally rid of allergies and other types of problems. One other key thing, we do have an office now open in the Bradenton area, and if you'd like to call our office, we can give you a number for that. And again, our address is 3009 West Highway 92, Winter Haven, Florida, 33881, and our phone number is area code 813-956-2733. That's 956-2733.
And we appreciate your call this morning. We have 60 seconds left. Anything you'd like to say in that last minute?
Well, Tom, I just again want to stress the importance of prevention rather than trying to cure disease. And all of the people who have been listening this morning, and we just appreciate each and every one of you, and we just want to say to each and every one of you again, think about what you're putting into God's temple. Think about the foods that you eat. You know, if you're offered a choice between an unclean food, as far as the Old Testament, or if you're offered a choice between swine or chicken, choose the chicken. That's all we're suggesting. You know, we're not telling you that you're under law or under condemnation or anything if you choose the pig. But look at the healthier way to eat. And that's the key to health, is to eat the fruits, the grains, the vegetables. Try to get as much fresh stuff as you can. And just stay away from all the junk food and all the high fat and high salt and high sugar food.
We're out of time this morning, and the phone line's still ringing. Unfortunately, we won't have time to take any more calls. Ted, if you would, one more time, those that still have questions or want more information, your number?
It's area code 813-956-2733. 2733. And again, if you have any requests or things for tapes, you can call in our office and we'll send you the tapes rather than bombarding WCIE with them. Okay? We thank you all so much.
Ted Brewer, thank you again for joining us.
You've been listening to Feedback, a public affairs presentation of WCIE. Unless otherwise stated during today's program, cassette copies of the broadcast are available by writing Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Be certain to mention today's date when you write. The address again is Feedback in care of WCIE, 777 Carpenters Way, Lakeland, Florida, 33805. Opinions expressed on Feedback are not necessarily those of WCIE.